It's always a bit strange to be fervently prayed for and then to say, somebody said at the harvest lunch there hadn't been any jokes. So I thought I better do something about that. All my jokes are about people going into bars. The man walks into the bar and he gets his drink and he looks up and he sees these pieces of meat nailed to the ceiling. And he says, what's that all about? And the barman says, well, you see, if you can jump up and pull down one of those pieces of meat, then you can have free beer all evening. But if you can't, you've got to pay me £100. Do you want to go? And the man thinks, and then he says, no, the stakes are too high. We are currently saints on the move. That joke actually doesn't link with anything. Back in January, Rachel brought us God's word that we were a church with a withered hand. But God says, stretch out your hand. And from that was born a prayer, which we've been using during the course of this year. And there's copies at the back if you haven't seen it. And since the summer, we've been traveling as saints on the move, deepening our trust in Jesus, which is how the prayer begins, asking God to bring life where we are withered, which is what we've been doing during September, as we've been seeking freedom as individuals and as a church. And a couple of Mondays ago, we did something which was really significant business before God, which we believe has changed the spiritual atmosphere for us as a church. As we confessed and we offered and we received forgiveness as a church for things in our past, putting behind us things that have happened that have caused us to be withered. Then last weekend was a wonderful weekend. We had a church day where nearly 70 of us were thinking about what faith and church means to us, what the needs of our community are, and where we long for the church to grow and to step out and make a difference in the world. Wonderful things to be thinking about. And some really good stuff was discussed and was fed back to us. And we're looking at all of those things. We've begun doing that already. We'll continue to do that. And part of the outcome, the first thing, is, as Rachel announced at the beginning, our day of prayer on All Saints Day. So, as she said, look out for that. And then last Sunday, we had a wonderful harvest time together here in church. And we had Thanksgiving for the harvest. We had a celebration of our freedom. We celebrated 40 years of Kevin playing the organ here in All Saints, and we had a wonderful lunch. Really, really fantastic weekend that was. Really fantastic how that worked. And I know lots of us enjoyed it. So here we are. We've stretched out our withered hand. We have received God's healing in some clear ways as individuals and as a whole church. And we're trusting and reaching out for more freedom that God will still be giving, more freedom and more healing. So where do we focus now as a church this Sunday and on after all that's gone before? Well, God called us to stretch out our hand. And we did that first for healing and for freedom. But there's more stretching out to do, and it's in that prayer that we've been using during this year. Blessing our community. Give us courage, we've been praying, to stand up and to stretch out our hand in faith and hope that your kingdom would come and your blessing flow through Ripley and beyond. In Jesus' mighty name. We've started talking together about what that might look like. So, surely now all we need is a big trumpet call and the rallying cry and out we go and do it all. Well, not quite, actually. This is a wonderful but a serious business, and we need to make sure that we are ready practically and spiritually for making the difference in Ripley that we are sure that God is calling Christians to do at this time, calling us to do. So we need to know who we are as we go out there and in whose strength we go out there or do what God calls us to do. We need to know our identity as a church. We need to know our identity as individuals, our identity in Christ, so that we are able to stretch out our hand to others. Some of you might be saying, come on, let's go, let's at them. We're going out at last. But others of you will be saying, help. It doesn't sound like something I could do. We're all different, and that's great. But we're in this together, and we all do have a part to play. And that's what we're going to be doing this month, thinking about who we are and the different ways that God calls us and what he asks us to do and how he asks us to be. So it's who we are and how we are as a church that we're going to be thinking about over the next few weeks, what we're called to as individuals, as a church, and what that will mean for our next stages on the journey as saints on the move. And today, we're thinking about being on God's team. And this is inspired by David Hopwood, who's actually leading the All Age service next. And his service is going to have a lot of football in it. That's brilliant. I don't know how many of you played sports, but actually, I was never much of a footballer. I was always one of the ones who was the last to be picked. But I did play rugby because it didn't involve any accuracy, apart from which direction you ran in. First of all, I was in the school rugby team when I was 2 years younger than the people in the team because they'd spotted me down on the other field playing rugby and I was fearless at tackling. That's what they thought. Actually, I was brainless at tackling. So I was made fullback, who was meant to catch the opposing person when everyone else had failed. And I did manage to tackle a few people fantastically and then I was knocked out in my first match, running around with tunnel vision, really, because I was too little, really. But anyway, so I stopped being fullback after a little while. And then as I grew bigger and less brainless about tackling, I was put in the scrum and I was flanker. The flanker's on the edge of the scrum and the first one to break off and go running, and I was still small enough to nip through people. And then I grew bigger and they thought, no, it doesn't fit there anymore. So I was a hooker. So in there where you kick the ball out of the scrum and then you throw it in as well. I had to be quite accurate there. And then actually I grew too much and I became a prop and then second row, all these different positions. Actually in the end, when I went to secondary school, I became the hooker again because nobody else wanted me to. I was taller than the props sometimes, but these are technicalities. I played all sorts of different positions, but I did mostly enjoy playing rugby, and it was all that being on the team. I was good at rugby generally, and they were trying to find somewhere to put me, and it worked. It was good. So there I was, and it was all very active when I think about it. My goodness. There was other times of year though at school where you didn't do one thing, you did another. I still went on the school bus in the cricket season. I was there with the team. I was celebrating the victories and disappointed with the failures, but I couldn't play cricket for toffee. But what I could do is add up, and I was the scorer. So I went and sat down through the whole match, writing little numbers and dots in a book, and putting M for a maiden over, and W for a wicket, and getting the T afterwards all the same. Hey, it's brilliant. But I was part of the team. I wasn't there on the pitch, but I was still part of the team. And if you think about sports, there's a lot of people who are part of the team who aren't the ones who are there on the field that you're watching all the time, or the ones that you see at the end. If you watch the Tour de France, you get these people who eventually go and they win the day or they win the hill climb. But actually, there's a lot of people called domestiques who look after them. They're other members of the team who cycle ahead of them, beside them, behind them, wherever it might be, to get them in the right place for the right moment where their team member will go and win the glory. And the other people have done their part, a part of the team which isn't at the front, but very much part of ensuring things work. And then you think of the rowers. If you look at photographs of the celebrating teams of rowers when there's a cox in the team, it's so funny. You've got these big rowers going, yes, we won. And the muscles are, you know, it's wonderful. And then there's the cox who's about half their height and little person, but a big voice. They're all in the boat together. They're all part of the team, but they're very different from each other. And then you've got coaches. When you're rowing, the coach has to be able to do a number of things, including, we realised when we lived by a river, cycle while looking sideways, shouting at a crew and not going into the river. It's really quite a skill. And then you've got physios, you've got photographers who, you know, and then the unofficial things like the team joker or the stats person who always knows exactly what we still need to get or what the history was of, you know, how this happened before. So lots of people are in the team and not always the ones you would first think of. Paul, he doesn't talk about teams in this case, we just heard from 1 Corinthians, but he uses a similar image of all being part of one body. The parts of the body are hugely different from each other, but they're all part of the same body. They're all part of the team. So you've got your thigh bone. You've got your, you know, that's the biggest bone in the body, I think. Where is it? Anyway, it's huge, whether it's the biggest or not. You've got arms and legs. You've got the bits you see. But what if that great big thigh bone said, well, only people like me are really part of this body. Do you know, in your middle ear, you've got something called the hammer and the anvil and the stirrup. Well, there's some of the non-technical names for them. There's a little bone called the stirrup bone. It's the smallest one in your body. If the thigh bone says, I'm big and strong, and I don't think the stirrup bone is any part of this body, well, we wouldn't be able to hear, would we? You can't say the thigh bone is not allowed to get all uppity just because the stirrup bone is so different. The nose shouldn't be all depressed because it can't see. It's still part of the body. Paul uses these wonderful images. They're silly, but they make you laugh. They make you think, though. We don't do that, surely. But maybe we do that sort of thing as Christians. We don't normally do it openly, though. We can maybe quietly discount people in our own minds because they don't seem to be able to do anything valuable for the church. Or we can quietly discount ourselves in our own minds because there are other people out there who clearly have what it takes, and we don't seem to have anything like that. So we can't really be part of the team, or they can't really be part of the team, surely. And both of those are equally wrong. And I think we know it really, but it's really hard to get to that stage where we really believe it. There's a wonderful phrase which I heard first from a Christian writer called Dave Ames. He says, having nothing to prove and nothing to lose is the way that we need to live as Christians. Nothing to prove and nothing to lose. I mean, what a wonderful thing that would be. What a wonderful way to be as a church, as the body of Christ, with Jesus at our head. Surely we can be like that. Nothing to prove, because it's about Jesus making us part of the body. And nothing to lose, because it's about Jesus making us part of the body. That's wonderful. A humble confidence is what Dave Ames calls it. And then if we're like that, we pull together. We honour those in our community who seem to have a less clear role. We can't see where they fit in, but we realise God has made them part of the body. They need extra honour. We're all concerned for each other. Paul goes on to say, if one is hurt, we're all hurt. If one rejoices, then we all rejoice. What a wonderful way of being, one body together. We know this all, don't we? And yet we do need to be reminded of it. We need to come back to it for the sake of how we feel about ourselves, and occasionally for the sake of how we feel about other people. In a church, particularly where people have known each other for a long time, we need to be sure that we don't either raise some people up or put some people down because we have known them for a long time and we know what they can or they can't do. And sometimes when we've been in the church a long time, we think of ourselves in a small way because we know all these people around us. And we think, oh, I'm still not, I can't see where I fit. But actually God's put us there. It's really important that we think of it how God thinks of it. We realise that God has made us all part of the body. God is the one who draws us together. God is the one who makes us part of this body. And as we who've been here a long time, some of you who've been here a long time, will be established in how you work. It's also really important to look out for and to celebrate the way that God is working newly in people who you've seen around for a long time, or is working in people you've not seen until a few weeks ago, and suddenly God's doing his stuff, and that's part of our body now as a church here. Celebrate and welcome and see what we can do to draw in more and more people who God is doing a new thing with. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to see happening. It does happen in our church. It's fantastic. And we also need to keep our eyes open for anything which might make that happen less than it could. So what do we do about all of this now? What do we do about all of this now as we are saints on the move, as we've seen good stuff that God's done, and we're looking for good stuff that he's going to do in the future. We're all part of the team. Our roles are very different. You can see that as you look around us. But we're all part of the body. What for? What difference does this make? What are we going to do as we think about being saints on the move together? Now, Paul talks about the body and another part in the epistles. He talks in Romans 12 about the body. He says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Lots of different ways that God works in us. Some of them require particular gifts, maybe particular training. Others of them, encouraging, being merciful. They're things which can just flow naturally out of us. Jen is going to be talking next week about our calling as Christians particularly. And so I don't want to go into the different things we do and God calls us to do all that much. But just to say, from this, we can see how we have different gifts. And we're called to do what we do with faith and grace to the full for Jesus and for the benefit of those that Jesus is reaching out to. And then let's think about our reading from the Gospel, from Luke 10. We stopped short because I just wanted to get the beginning of that. You know what goes on after that. They go out and it's wonderful. They come back rejoicing at what God's done. "The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few," says Jesus. "Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers." And then Jesus sends out his disciples. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. No, actually, quite a lot more than 12. Did you see? It says, "Then Jesus chose 72 others." I wonder if that means they weren't even the 12. 72 others. I think we can see ourselves as others sometimes. There are the people you would think of first, and then there are us others. Well, the good news is that Jesus loves using others for his work. They're a huge part of the team. And in this case, they went out and they did God's stuff, and God did his stuff through them. And they came back rejoicing. They healed the sick, they proclaimed God's kingdom, and they came back rejoicing. Wouldn't you love to see God healing the sick and the kingdom being proclaimed in Ripley, and we come back rejoicing? Each of us has been specially crafted by God to have a way that we can be part of that, even though we're others. Even if we feel completely like we're others, there is a part to play. It may not be that one you think of when you think, "Oh, I can't do that." Sometimes it is, but quite often it isn't. It's the way that God's made you, that you can go out and be part with the others of what God is doing. Wouldn't you love to see that happen in Ripley? Yes. Wouldn't you love that prayer that we've been praying, that we would be part of a team, and together we would have the courage to stand up and to stretch out our hand in faith and hope that God's kingdom will come and his blessing will flow through Ripley and beyond in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I long to see that. And we are sure God is about this in this time. And he does it with us others in the ways that he's going to choose, which fit in with who each of you are. Because that's what God's about. So will you join us as God's team, even if we are God's others, to be part of this, to be going out and be blessing bringers and town changers? Because That's what God's about. It's what we're here for as a team. God's team in All Saints. And we are all part of it. Amen.